you notice, we have the scriptures on the up on the overhead. So just pick out your scriptures, have them ready when we get to them. You may have more than one if it's all in the same chapter. So if you stay in that chapter, you stay in that chapter. Let's everyone open to 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter and verse 5. Let's open to that because we're going to be dealing with that quite a bit. Because that's what we started with. We looked at it last week right on the very close of our lesson. Let's turn there. And we're going to have Matt read verse 5.
Is that on?
No, don't.
No, it is. It helps when you turn the switch on.
Verse 5. Test yourself to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourself. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test?
Okay. Test ourselves. Try ourselves continually. You know, it's so easy to be deceived. And that's kind of what we're talking about. You know, the whole topic is blessed assurance, that I know Jesus is mine. I know I'm going to heaven. That's very important. We need to have that attitude, but it needs to be backed by Scripture, and we need to not take for granted that it's going to be that way always. We can slip and fall from that if we don't hold fast and hold tight to it because of the deceitfulness of sin. And you know, it's so easy to be deceived. And I'm going to read this, but in James, the first chapter, beginning with verse 14 through 16, and I think Mike mentioned this maybe in his sermon last Sunday, but he said, "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away of his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." Verse 16 says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." And I guess that's my point that I want to get across to all of us. You know, that same phrase is said three times in the New Testament. James 1:16, Galatians 6 and 7, and 1 Corinthians 15 and 33. Be not deceived. It's so easy to be deceived. And you know, the deceitfulness of sin, you think, okay, I've got it all figured out. I see how the devil is trying to deceive me. But you know what? He's smart. He changes. He changes the way that he deceives us. And so, therefore, we have got to be on our toes all the time saying, is this some kind of a new way of deceiving us? You can think, sure things are going through your mind right now. Things that are just happening in the world, in America, around us. Things are changing. The devil is trying to deceive people using different kinds of tricks. That's what it boils down to. So we need to test ourselves, like we read in 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. We need to test ourselves to see if what? See if we're in the faith. See if we're in the faith. And we talked about that. And then it says examine yourself. In other words, it means to approve yourself. Can you actually approve yourself that you're a Christian? Can you say, yes, I will vouch for myself. I will vouch for myself. I will approve me as going to heaven. Can you do that? That's what we have to do. In other words, we just have to put ourselves to the test. And the proof is, are we obeying the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ?
We're told to examine ourselves every first day of the week before we take communion. And
that's one place that we have to do that. And examine ourselves and make sure we're taking of it in the right way and in the right frame of mind and with the right heart. And Larry read in John 15, and you don't have to read it again, but John 15, verses 4 through 7, and several times in those four verses, it basically said, he only abides in those that abide in him. So We have to abide in the Lord. So now we're kind of starting on some of the new notes for today. Just notice Paul's words in 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter and verse 6. Matt?
But I trust that you will realize that we ourselves do not fail the test.
Okay. Basically what that's saying, that's a little bit hard to decipher and understand. But I think this is what I think he's saying. I think he's saying, Paul said, I trust that you, speaking to the Christians there at Corinth, I trust that you will realize that whatever may be the result of your self-examination, that we, being the inspired apostles, have not failed the test of being approved. Therefore, you can follow with assurance the New Testament scriptures which provide the gospel that we must obey. So I think that's what he's saying. So when you test yourself, you can be sure of what you're testing yourself against or by. And that is the Word of God, the New Testament scriptures. Because he said, as the inspired apostles, they did not fail the test. So we hope that we don't either. But so that just brings us back to our lesson, blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. Now, let's look at Hebrews 3 and 6. Are you sure you are a son of God? That's another way of saying that Jesus is mine, that I'm saved, that I'm going to heaven. Are you truly a son of God? And here in Hebrews, the 3rd chapter and verse 6, notice it says, what's the biggest word in that verse? Well, that's a longer word. This one's only got two letters. It's a conditional word. If. We can know that we are the sons of God if we hold fast and firm. How long? To the end. All the way. And what is it we're holding to here? He says, your confidence and rejoicing of the hope. Your confidence and rejoicing of the hope. Now let's look at Hebrews 3 and then down in verse 14. Still talking about the same thing.
For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end.
Okay, it says about the same thing, just in a little bit of different words, but it's just saying if we are partakers of Christ, if Jesus is mine, if I'm saved, if I'm going to heaven, then as long as there's that condition, as long as we, and I need to say I, hold fast my confidence. And I think that confidence is talking about the original basis or foundation of my faith or your faith in Christ. And we have to hold that steadfast to the end. You know, confidence can be, go ahead, Mark.
I think that part of 6 there, firm to the end. I think as we reflect upon those that we've known in the past who've fallen away, and even those who have been older who have fallen away, that carries a lot to the end. When we think of Paul and the statement he made at the closing of his life, he's talking about to the end.
Mm-hmm. We're going to get to that. There's a danger there. There's a danger of apostasy in all of us. We can be deceived. The deceitfulness of sin, the older I get, the more and more I realize how terribly deceitful Satan is. And we just really have to guard against that. But you know that word confidence that we've been using can also be translated assurance, which we've based our lesson on blessed assurance. But it can be translated as assurance, and it is in the New American Standard Bible in most cases. But I really like the words of John. In 1 John 2:28.
And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming.
Okay. Little children, We're talking about Christians. We're talking about people who are saved and should be assured. It says, abide in Him, that condition, that you may appear, that when He appears, that is in the judgment day, when He comes back to claim His own, that we may have confidence. And that confidence means, has a, more of a meaning of boldness in speaking about Jesus. That we will have that assurance and confidence that we can boldly speak out about Jesus and say, yes, Jesus is mine. He has saved me. His blood has washed my sins away. And I am in Him. I am in the Lord. And I have eternal life as long as I keep that until the end. And said, and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. We shouldn't be ashamed to claim any of those things. You know, basically, I must have confidence in my eternal life. And that's what blessed assurance, Jesus is mine, is all about. Now, I'm going to ask the question, what's this lesson all about? It's all about me. So when I use the word I, me, mine, I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about you. But you better be thinking not about me, but you be thinking about you. So do I have confidence in eternal life? Who is that question about again? Me. Okay, let's look in 1 John, the 5th chapter, verses 11 through 13.
And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life.
Okay. What translation was that?
English Standard.
English Standard, okay. Okay, notice it said, there's one phrase in there that I want us to pick up on. That you may know. These things are written to you who believe in the name of the Lord Jesus, or the name of the Son of God, that you may know what? That you may know what?
That you have eternal life.
That you have eternal life. He wants us to know that we have eternal life. And that we may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. So, you know, it's this. It gets down to this idea, and this is kind of what this lesson today is going to be about, is about testing and approving ourselves to see if we are still in the Lord. Because there is the possibility that we can fall. And we're going to get into that in just a little bit. But I hope the time spent on this preliminary issues in this lesson, I guess it's preliminary issues. Maybe it's the bulk of my lesson, but you know, I hope this helps focus our minds on the importance of making sure my faith is based upon the genuine gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, what's this study all about? It's all about me. You know, I think it's really a very sad reality or a very sad commentary that many people assembling for worship this morning around the world do not share the important concern of making sure their faith is based upon the authentic gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, testing, a lot of times we don't like to test and approve ourselves, do we? We don't like to look because we're afraid what we might see about ourselves. So testing and approving ourselves continually, that's such a critical work of salvation for every Christian. You know, testing applies to a lot of things. You wouldn't have your education today if you hadn't been tested and approved. Now, did Joyce enjoy those tests? Probably not. You know, sometimes I've looked at tests as kind of a challenge, and it kind of gets me up. And it's kind of a challenge to see how well you can do on a test. But basically, tests It makes you worry. But you know, as Paul reminded all Christians in Philippians 2 and 12, read that one, Jen.
Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Okay. I've got to do it on my own. You can't do it for me. So this lesson's about me. You can say that. You have to take this lesson and go with it. I can't go with it any farther than that. But even as I have tried to always obey the Lord, I must now much more work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. And that's what the Apostle Paul instructed us. Now, Peter instructed about me in 2 Peter, the first chapter, verses 10 and 11.
Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Okay, thank you. You know, that's what Peter's instructing me to do. To be all the more eager to make my calling and election sure. And then there's that conditional word, if I do these things, I will never fail. And in fact, he said, I'll receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, can we really be assured of heaven? Can we really be assured that we're going to heaven? You know, I think this verse and these verses in 2 Peter, the first chapter, I think this is a reason that we just often repeat that statement, this study is all about me. It's all about me. And we have to focus on ourselves. So therefore, we find that Paul exhorts me in Hebrews 4 and 11,
let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience.
Okay, so he's telling me to make every effort that I possibly can to enter that rest. So that tells me that rest, entering into the eternal rest, and that's eternal life, it does depend upon me to a certain degree, doesn't it? There are some doctrines that teach that there's nothing within me that will allow me to enter into heaven. That it's all the grace of God. The unconditional election and grace and perseverance of God. But no, the Bible teaches different than that. There's too many definitive statements throughout the Scriptures that tell me to make every effort that I can to enter into eternal rest so that I will not fall by following the example of the Jews. And what did the Jews do? Well, in one word, they just disobeyed. They were disobedient. So, I can follow that same way. Now, fall from what? Fall from grace, fall from salvation. I can have salvation, I can be saved, and I can still fall. But so we have to really make a hard effort. But you know, some might say, but you know, I have a difficult time understanding God's Word. Well, I've come to realize, you know, that the Bible is a very unique book. And I think it's designed for grade level ALL. Now, I don't think they have that grading in schools. There's a grade level for different ages. But I think the Bible is designed with grade level ALL. I think it's salvation issues can be understood by babes that are on milk in the Word, spiritually speaking, as well as those who are of full age who can digest meat. They can all understand salvation issues. Well, see, you see, the understanding of the will of God is like faith. Remember we said faith is durative. That means it's a continual work in progress. So understanding the will of God is a work that is continually in progress. We start out just knowing a little bit. But we can know enough to be saved. But then we keep growing. And that's what the Scripture tells us to do. We can't just stop there and say, okay, I'm baptized, my sins have been washed away, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, and then forget about it the rest of your life. Because you can fall. And if you stop right there, you've probably already started, you're already falling right there. Because we've got to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The who?
That was like the word.
No, that's right.
And I think that's where spiritually we get ourselves in trouble.
Yeah. And it is hard work, isn't it? It's labor. And you know, the older I get, the more I labor. And part of it's because it takes much longer for my mind to absorb these lessons. And, you know, working on this Sunday morning class, I can't tell you how many hours I've spent on it already. Hard work, well, yes, but enjoyable. I've enjoyed it. I enjoy it. In the morning, I will get up and look forward to think, oh, I want to get up now. I got to get another section of my lesson work together. So I enjoy doing that. It wasn't always like that. As we're younger, sometimes we don't have that same urgency as we do when we get in our latter years. But it's important. But you know, regardless of our level of comprehension, each person who is a faithful, truth-seeking disciple can know enough to be saved. You know, Jesus speaking to those faithful, truth-seeking disciples said in John 8:32,
"You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."
Okay, thank you. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That means me. And you can say the same thing. That means everyone can know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And again, Jesus speaking to his Jewish disciples told them in John 6:45.
"It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me."
Okay. And he said, he promised that who would be taught by God? Who was that? Who?
All.
That's that same word I just used. All. A-L-L. They shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Now, we do have to hear. We have to hear. There could be some situations in this world where someone has never heard. I can't make that judgment. God makes that judgment. But you know what, brothers and sisters, I've said this many times, but I think it's worth repeating. The key factor is spelled out in Jeremiah 29 and verse 13.
"You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart."
Okay. To me, right there. He said, "And you will search me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." And we need to put the word "I" in there. And I will, or, well, I guess that won't, grammatically that won't fit. But you, that means me, means you. We will seek Him and will find Him. That word "will." We will seek Him. We will find Him. When, there's a condition, when you search me for me with all your heart. So we have to put our whole soul and body and heart into doing this. And then the hard labor becomes enjoyable. It just becomes enjoyable to do that. So now as we proceed on through this lesson, let's keep in mind that even though I'm mainly instructing Christians, this lesson really can be, if you'll think about it, can really be easily be adapted to leading lost souls to Jesus. And you know, even in working with the lost, that is, the lost who are truly seeking the truth, if they're not truly seeking the truth, you might as well give up. But if they're truly seeking the truth, we need to always stress the point of the lesson being all about me. And when we're setting one-on-one with a lost soul, We need to say, now this, the lesson we're studying is about me, and I want you to think the same way. So it's applicable to teacher and student alike. It's all about me. And you know, being tested and approved was very important in the early church. Let's just look at what Paul had to say in his commendation about his dear friend Apollos. And this is in Romans 16 and 10.
Greet Apollos, approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus.
Okay. And what did he say about Apollos? He called him what?
Approved.
Tested and approved in Christ. And if you'll have the next one, Roger's verse. Roger's not here today. If you'll look up that 2 Timothy 2:15, we'll be ready for it in just a moment. But he called him tested and approved. So, am I tested and approved? Only I can answer that. Only the Lord can answer that. When we stop and think about it, we must be very truthful with ourselves. We have to be very truthful with ourselves. Don't allow ourselves to be deceived by Satan or by ourselves.
You know, that Satan tries to get us to compare ourselves with other people instead of comparing ourselves with Christ.
That's very dangerous.
That's how we fool ourselves.
Yeah, that's very dangerous. The scripture says that, and I can't remember the scripture, but don't be comparing yourself with others. So, since this lesson is all about me, then how often do I give serious thought whether my faith and works are based on the truth? I have to answer that question. You have to answer that question. And you know, I must never be guilty of taking for granted or assuming that the religion of my birth is totally correct. Because many people, the only religion they know is what they were born into, and what they were taught. And that's very dangerous. Because we have to continue to test and approve ourselves to see if that religion was correct or not. And 2 Timothy 2:15, what does that say, Eddie? Okay, so one of my favorite verses. But we just have to do the best to present ourselves to God as one, what?
Approved.
Here we're back to that word, testing and being approved. We need to present ourselves to God as one approved. And so if I have a negative feeling about, someone asked me, are you going to heaven? I said, well, I think so. I hope so. That's not a very assuring answer. We need to have our lives in such a condition that we can say, yes, I'm going to heaven. I am saved. I'm cleansed by the blood of Jesus. I'm approved. Because we need to know that, because that's how we have to present ourselves to God as one approved. So before you even try to present yourself to God, you got to test yourself and approve yourself and say, okay, I'm approved. And then you say, Lord, I give myself to you. And then we got to finish this one, because as a workman, and I'm not ashamed of what I do, but what is the key in the last phrase? What do I do? How can I know that, Eddie?
In Romans 12 and 3, Paul says, for I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith.
Okay, good verse. Okay, back to this verse. What do I need to do to be approved before God?
Study.
Study. What? Study. But how? What does it tell us in the last phrase of that verse? Correctly handle the word of truth. Rightly divide the word of truth, whichever version you have. That's what I've got to do. And it's up to not... You can't do it for me. I have to do it for myself. No one else can do it for me. I have to do it for myself. You know, a person is very fortunate indeed to be brought up by parents whose faith is genuine. But we don't want to take for granted. I don't care. We don't want to say, oh yes, I have. My parents were very dedicated to genuine truth. Don't let that fool you. We still have to test and try. Because does that mean they were perfect in every way and everything that they did? If they were, they're different than the rest of all the rest of us. Because we all have some mistakes. So let's consider the words of the Apostle Paul when he talked to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, verses 4 and 5. Okay. And what kind of faith did he... was he calling to remembrance? What kind of faith?
Sincere.
Genuine. Genuine faith. And that's what we're all searching for. That's what I want us to all be thinking about. What is genuine faith? And don't tell me that you know all about it. Because you don't. Nobody does. We can live 100 years and still not know all about it. But I think that we can have a genuine faith. We don't have to know every particular thing, but we do have to know the salvation issues, and that faith has to be genuine or sincere. That word of sincerity, that relates back to my heart. My heart has to be very sincere in what I'm doing, and to really study every day. So Timothy had a good upbringing with his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. Now, the importance, and we're running out of time again. I'm going to go ahead and, I won't ring the bell yet. But anyway, I want to start on this. This is, for next Sunday, is going to be the importance of knowing how I have eternal life. Now, you may think, well, we're harping on this an awful lot. Well, I think it's very important. So this following story and remarks that I'm going to read are based on a chapter in Robert Shank's book, Life in the Sun. And that chapter was entitled, That You May Know That You Have Faith. So he told this true story about an acquaintance who was a successful businessman, a dedicated Christian. And one day he was greeted by his banker with a question. The banker said, "What do you know for sure, Pete?" Well, Pete immediately replied, "I know the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin. I am a child of God by obedient faith, and I'm on my way to heaven." The banker kind of stepped back and was surprised, but he was impressed by this unexpected answer. And so he immediately responded. He said, "Wait just a minute. Come into my office. I want to talk to you." You know, this was an opening that every Christian should seize upon to explain the great love, mercy, and grace of God and all the spiritual things that He's provided for all who will believe and obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that was a confident statement of salvation. And that's the part I want to get. A confident statement of salvation is something many in the world are hungry to hear. In other words, something for sure. Something in which people can have confidence. Because we live in times of a lot of confusion and a lot of uncertainty. And so, you know what? God is definitely concerned that people can and should know the things He has provided. In this all-sufficient gospel plan that we have for the salvation of all people. So, in connection to this study that we're going through, we need to understand that God wants people to know that they can be sure of eternal life. So we need to keep that in mind and know that He really wants us to know and be assured. He wants us to be assured that we can have eternal life. But you know, this is a topic that kind of elicits different opinions of men. Many will claim that it is impossible for people to know at a point in time that they have eternal life. Some people will claim that. But according to the Word of God, that's not a correct assumption. And we're going to notice that when we get into scriptures, and probably be next week when we do that. So we'll probably kind of back up and pick up with this. But on the other hand, there's an equally incorrect assumption. Is that all who are certain that they have been saved ought never to question the facts of their personal salvation. Let me say that's probably kind of worded in someone, it's a very incorrect assumption for someone to just say, I am certain that I've been saved, but yet never question the facts of their salvation. In other words, never test and approve themselves. And they just believe, I was saved, and that's it. I don't have to worry the rest of my life. And you know what? There's a huge following that believe that. We're gonna get into that a little bit next Sunday, and because you probably recognize this as the Calvinist doctrine of unconditional perseverance, or once saved, always saved. And as I've already stated this before, to me that is that's a very harmful, deceiving doctrine. It's got a lot of people deceived. Well, anyway, we'll pick up there and with our lesson next Sunday. So appreciate your